We have a special service for you today. I'm very, very excited to invite up Pastor Joe and Therese to give you guys a little information.
Morning. We're going to sit down today like you guys get to do.
What do you think? Sure.
Fall asleep like many of these people do.
So they don't.
I'm going to start off by reading something to you that we put together because I don't want to miss the important part here. Today is a very significant day. Because we are going to be sharing with you some of what God has been doing in our hearts and the future of our church in terms of some very important decisions to where His place is headed. Therese and I want to start by telling you how deeply we love you and care about you and how much you have impacted our lives. We are far better people because we have journeyed this thing called life and serve together to help people know the love of God and to build their lives upon the rock of Jesus. God has great things for our future. So I will need to share some of our story with you. And like all stories, there is a beginning. You know, Therese and I have, with intention, journeyed with God 40 years. I say with intention because all our lives, God has journeyed with us. I just was unaware of that until I was 29 years old. I have also journeyed with Therese in marriage for 44 years. And yeah. Man, is she lucky. No, it's been a great journey. Also, we have been pastors of this church for a few months short of 3 decades. And I want to share some of my and our story with you in this church. God has spoken into my life on a regular basis, really, my whole journey with Him. Through the Word, through others, my conscience, circumstances, His Spirit, trials, but there have been a number of times that changed the trajectory of our walk and of my life and our life with the Lord. And I want to share that because, you know, oftentimes we live by destination. We're always thinking of where is this going? Where is the destination? And the Lord woke me up last night and said, it's not the destination, for the destination is sure. The destination has already been accomplished. It's the journey that's the important thing. It's the journey to the destination. And when we get focused on destinations, we miss the value of the points along the way of the journey. And everything in that journey has already been God ordained. So I want to share with you some points. And one of the beauties of walking with the Lord a long time is that you can look back and you can see steps to take you that have taken you to where you are. But when you're in those steps, sometimes you don't recognize the value of them. And I want you to know this. Every step of the way is valuable. It's valuable. And don't lose the present because we're focused on some whatever destination we think is the most important thing. And let me tell you, destinations usually don't work out the way we thought they were anyway. So it's really a lot of waste of time. Oh, do you want to share? Okay. Yeah.
Not yet.
Well, the first time I remember hearing the Lord's voice was in my addiction while I was on my patio in this apartment that I used to live in. And I'm sitting at this table, and I took a piece of paper, and I was going to write on this piece of paper. You know, I was about, probably about 22, 23 years old. I was going to write down what's my journey. I wasn't even all the way into my addiction, but I was well on the way. And so I was writing there, and I said, you know, 20% of the time I want to work. Found out that that's not even close to reality. But at 23, who knows those things? So I was, you know, right there, and then I was writing, okay, I want to spend 10% of my time doing this and doing that and 15% here. And then I got into religion because I was always curious about eternity and God. And I said, I'm going to spend 20% of my time in religion. And I heard this voice. And it was in King James, I later found out. I never even knew anything about a King James Version Bible. And this voice said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And I jumped out off of that chair, about knocked my mirror with the cocaine off the table. But I jumped out of that chair, and I'm looking around to see who's talking to me. And looking back on that, it was the call of my life. I didn't know it because it was another 7-8 years before I came to know the Lord. But that was already in motion. The next word from God that was so impactful in my life was when I was at the OCRM, the Orange County Rescue Mission. But let me back up a second. Well, yeah, I was at the Orange County Rescue Mission. And, wait a minute. No, the next word, I messed up. That church. Thank you. You'd think I'd have it memorized after doing this just the last service. But I was at the church, and I had been sober now, clean, still driving a beer truck. I'd been driving a beer truck for a decade. But in the last 4 years of driving that truck, I was following the Lord. And I was doing all this recovery stuff while driving a beer truck and learning to be a man of integrity, learning to walk the walk. And I'm at church, and I'm saying, God, get me, you know, I can't do this. I can't do this. I need to hear from you. What do you want from me? What do you want from my life? And at this particular Sunday, there was a guy at Sunlight Christian Center, which was the church we were at, and he was a prophetic guy. And he was giving words of knowledge to people, and you know, some people were falling out, and it was charismatic, and some, you know, so he was just doing stuff, and I was so hungry. I was, wherever the guy walked on stage, I was following him. I got up on my chair. You know, we all have our seats in church, so I knew, you know, I got out where I sit, and I moved back and forth waiting for this guy to tell me something. And Therese was still in our pew, and he didn't say nothing to me. And then he ends the service, and it was like, well, okay, God, you know, and I'll just keep seeking you. And so I get back to my chair, and it's church is over, and I'm beginning to walk out to get the kids up in children's church. And this lady comes up to me. I'd never seen her before. Some of you know the story. I'd never seen her, never talked to her, don't know who it is. And she goes, the Lord told me to tell you something. And I said, okay. And she said, you're going to have a powerful ministry. And I said, you know, yay. And, you know, and I don't know bells and whistles, you know, nothing. But the following Sunday at church, after service, again, a guy comes walking up to me who I'd never met, never remember seeing at all. And he said, you don't know me, but the Lord told me to tell you something. And I said, okay, what? And he said, you're going to have a powerful ministry. And I've held on to that. And you know what that did? I went from the call to walking with the Lord to knowing I have a destiny. There is a purpose. And that became a foundational point in ministry. That's what His Place has been built on, is that people have a destiny. People have a purpose. You know, in Proverbs 29, I believe it's 18, it says that a people without vision perish. God gave me a vision a ministry, a purpose. I didn't know anything about it, but I knew it would be valuable. And I knew it was important. And it set the course of my perspective on life. I gained a bigger picture. And so the next most important word that I heard from the Lord was when I finally got into ministry at the Orange County Rescue Mission, I went from straight beer company into a full-time ministry with the homeless, did that for 12 years. And during that first year, I saw the corruption of the leader. And I couldn't wrap my head around. There was more integrity in the beer company than there was in that ministry. And I was blown away. And I kept asking God, why do you not do it? And the guy would tell me straight to my face, I don't like you and I'm going to fire you. And you know what? I would beg in my spirit, please fire me. I wanted out. Patrice knows. I would come home and sometimes cry, laying prostrate on, prostrate. On the ground, praying to God to get me out of that place. And she knows. And so, one day I'm folding clothes. We had a clothing room. We'd give showers to the homeless every day. We'd feed them. They'd go to services. We did program. We did all kinds of stuff. And part of the job, I was folding underwear. And I'm talking to God again about what in the world is, why are you not doing anything with this guy? And God spoke to me. And he said, I'm showing you this so that you will not do that when you're in the position. And what that did in my heart was, I have to finish well. I have a destiny, and I have to finish it well. I have to go all the way. I got to jump in both feet. And either I'm in, I can't be half in. And so that set now the course of my life that I'm all in. And God, by the grace of God, I've been able to, and Teresa and I have been able to stay the course through so many unexpected things in the journey. Some amazing things and, massive heartache. And God has been faithful. And so that set the course. And then the next time God really spoke to me was at Little His Place when we started doing the church. And, I went there in 96. And in about 2002, I took a church that started with probably maybe 25 people, and we were at a robust 27, and with many people coming and going. And I just it was just so difficult. And I remember praying and, asking God, what do I do? I'm lost. I tried to do church. I'd go to church growth seminars. I'd read all the books on church growth, and I just felt like such a failure, so disappointed. And I started putting out some feelers. Teresa and I were talking about, what do we do next? And I started putting out some feelers to some churches. Maybe I'll be a teaching pastor. Maybe somebody will hire me. I don't know. I didn't know what to do. And I'm standing at the door in that little church. There's the office, and then it opens up to the sanctuary. And I'm standing at that door, and I'm looking around, and I heard the voice of God again. And he said, I'll bless you if you go, and I'll bless you if you stay, but I gave this to you. And you know what? In that moment, I knew that I had never done what I thought would work. Because years earlier at the mission, I was asking God, how come so many people don't make it? How come? And he said, I keep sending them to you, and you keep sending them away. And what that meant to me was that the ministry of our lives wasn't just in that type of, confined type of environment, discipleship type environment. And I used to think, if I had a church, how would I reach these people? What kind of church would I do to reach people like me? And I'd have these fantasies about, would I do this, and I'd do that, and I'd do... And it always was, to me, oddball because I didn't see it anywhere. And I always thought, any of you guys ever think like you're with the odd person? You know, it seems like everybody else is doing stuff, and I don't get how they do it. And I was thinking, man, and that's why I tried to do this stuff. So that day when the Lord spoke to me years later in the doorway of HB, I said, okay, I'm going to do that. And then we started to do all that stuff, went back to recovery meetings.
We made it like a little coffee house. We had these table and chairs for the people who came. And that was a lot of fun. And remember, they would, during worship, you know, they were new believers. And they didn't know that you worship and listen to music and focus on Jesus. And so they were like chit-chatting like they were in a coffee shop. And then we were like, well, how do we change, you know, back to...
Yeah.
Just all the things.
They thought the music was ambiance. Yeah. Oh, they have a live band today.
We had a smoking section. It was just like, okay, we're going to meet the needs of people when they come.
It was crazy. It was it was the craziest of times. It was the best of times too. It was rich. It was rich. The whole journey's been rich. Yeah. And so we started to do that, and the church started to grow, and ultimately we came here in 2012. And I believe our son passed away in August of 2011, and I believe he influenced God to help us, and he certainly did. So we got over here, and God continued to do that. We were able to open HB again and start planting a church there, and you know, it's been a wonderful thing. And from that point on, you know, we were always in it, but you guys and the many, many people that have come and gone over these three decades became extended family to us. And we were there for you in your darkest times. And we loved people that couldn't love themselves. And we lifted the arms of people that couldn't move. And we you know, the Bible says you will reap what you sow. And in our times of need, and when our kids passed, you guys loved us. You loved us, man. You held up. When we couldn't move, you held. You loved us. We are forever, ever blessed. And God has truly blessed us. Our lives have been so impacted by the congregations that God has allowed us to be involved in and walk through life with. And that's been how it is for these last many, many years. But something happened about 2 years ago. I started to have a stirring, something stirring in my heart. Something's changing in me. I felt, I couldn't put my finger on it. I was thinking, am I in sin? Am I doing something? Are you doing something, God? What is going on? Because I've never felt that.
Can I say?
Yeah.
Is it on? Oh, sorry. At that time, you know, watching you, you know, seek the Lord, and you were like, you were sharing with me how, you know, you were feeling, it was amazing to me because you were like, it's just, I don't know what it is. It's like before all I would do is think about the church 24/7, you know, I ate, slept and drank the church. And now I'm not. And I'm thinking, you know, well, we have three little boys at home that, you know, come as soon as you come in the door, they're wanting your attention.
Something was changing. Something was changing. I had 1,000 conversations with her, a bunch of them with Chris, some other, the board here last August, about 6 months after that, I had a big meeting with our board, Roger and Kai and Jaden, and was sharing with them, this is, something's going on in me. I didn't know what, and I began to realize, well, Therese gave me a word. And it helped to clarify something to me. She said, Joe, remember when God said, I'll bless you if you stay and I'll bless you if you go? I think God's telling you, you have to go. And he wants to bless you in a different way and bless us in a different way. I said, I never believed that word to start with anyway. I received that word. God spoke that word, but he spoke it through trees to me. And it was like, wow. I never knew that that word had a double component to it. And so it started to resonate. And I said, God, I need to hear from you. I need to hear. And the Lord, I don't know, a few months later said, I have other work for you. And it was like, okay, all right. And so we started the journey here, and it's been, you know, these last 2 years, I can tell you this, have been some of the hardest 2 years in my life internally. Because I've never done this before. I've never pastored another church. This has been my home. I've never, you know, I never saw these kind of things take place. But then I began to realize, man, God has really set us up. And this is where Chris comes into the picture. You know, I've known Chris 13 years. In fact, he got sober on our couch while Teresa's at a women's retreat, which made it way easier. but I've seen his life change and grow, huh?
I just came home and like, who's that guy on our couch?
I know our daughter came home too and said, Papa, there's a guy. Who's that guy sleeping on the sofa? so funny. Anyway, but I've journeyed with him. The last 7 years, he's been my associate. And so when this process started happening and I talked to the board, we started a search. We started our due diligence. We started looking and praying and seeking, you know, who's got the heart? Who is? Because when I was at the mission and that guy was trying to get rid of me, I told the Lord, I will not leave and abandon these men. I will not do it. You better bring a shepherd. You better bring a shepherd, man, that loves these guys. And it wasn't a month later in that journey, because I knew my time was coming short to be hands-on with the men, and they were going to move me to some back room doing something and counting money. And it was like, you don't know about, you probably got the wrong guy for that job. But no, God had tempered me there. But anyway, God brought a guy from the mission field in Guatemala, a guy named Greg Bruce, and he was the shepherd. And as soon as I saw him, the Lord said, this is my man. And I knew. And we've been dear friends for all these years. And the best thing I could think of in comparison to that was, who would be a shepherd for this flock? Who would be the point person? And through all of our working, it's Chris Jones. Chris Jones, he's traveled with me for 7 years. You don't know, man. I've mentored this man. I've walked with him and his wife, he has done countless baptisms with me. He's done it all. He's done it all. And nobody knows that kind of world unless you've been in it. And, you know, it's your heart is for the people and you care and it's like, wow, we get to do that. Yeah, I know you want to share.
Yes, I do.
Bye.
I just wanted to say about Chris and your relationship. Being, you know, 7 years ago, I was involved in the church and working here and involved in women's ministries and children's different things. And when our daughter went to heaven, I had to step back all in one day, and but then to watch Chris and Joe and to hear the conversations and hear them every Monday, they would get on the phone for sometimes hours and just pray together, talk about the church, talk about the vision, talk about what God had done in their hearts and minds, and you know, on Sunday and what happened in the congregation. And it was so encouraging and such a blessing. I'd always like make sure I was home. It's Monday morning. Chris is calling. And so I know from my perspective, too, 100% trust. And I know, you know, knowing your story and knowing how God orchestrated everything, it's God all the way.
Amen. With all that said, we will be stepping down as the lead pastors here on July 13th. We're not leaving the church, but we are going to take the rest of the summer off. Our boys love the church, and we love this church. You know, in the pastoral world, and we were told this by some pastors, that if you, when you step away from being the lead pastor, you get gone. And you let that other guy come in, and it's like, we don't have that relationship. I don't have that relationship with this church. I'm not in competition with anybody. I want this thing to flourish.
Because Chris was there, we're telling him, they told us not to come back. And he said, no, we're not a normal church. You come back. I don't even want you to leave at all. And I'm like, that's his place.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, you guys are our friends and family, and it felt really hard. Like, we have to step away from people we love. So, thank you.
Yeah, and I understand it if the situation is different, but this situation, you know, we're not that group of people. So this guy's telling me this, and I said, screw that. I ain't going to do that. We've never done things that, you know, we're not that group. And, why don't we bring Chris up? Oh, why don't you share a little bit?
I just want to say, in the Bible, it says 365 times, fear not. So that's one for every day of the year. And there's nothing to fear. The opposite of fear is trust. And I just know that God's brought you, and I know we trust you 100%.
Why don't you share a little bit about Tracy?
Oh, that's right. I shared about Tracy the first service and last night. You're going to love Tracy if you don't know her yet. That's Chris's wife. Over the last year, I've got to see her about once a month and develop a really sweet relationship at first. It took a while, and now we laugh. We have so much fun. She loves Jesus, and she's really looking forward to connecting as much as she can. And I hope you guys love her as much as you have loved us.
All right.
I just want to start by saying what an honor it is to be up here with you, and how much I love both of you so much. I never in a million years thought I was going to be a pastor. I wasn't looking for it. And I want you to know that I can't imagine not being your pastor. Tell you a little bit how we got here. To expand on the detoxing on your couch story. Tracy and I, we got born again at another church in Orange County. And I got touched by God. I mean, I'm talking tongue talking, spirit walking, baptized in the Holy Spirit, saved. And I knew that I was supposed to be in the house of God. I wasn't grown up in the church. I didn't know about Christianity at all. And, I just knew that I needed to be serving in the house of God. That's where God wanted me. And I served that other pastor, and I became a deacon over there. And unfortunately, without getting into the details, there was some church hurt there. And my wife ended up leaving. I'm committed. Like, when I commit to something, to the church, I'm committed. So I was a deacon there, so I was struggling. I knew why my wife was leaving, and I supported her. But I had this commitment, and God spoke to me. He said, I didn't call you to go to a different church than your family. It's family first, and then ministry. And so I stepped down from that position at that church appropriately. And it was right about the time where we were struggling. Tracy and I loved God. I was in a Christian punk rock band that traveled all over the place, man. We were delivering demons out of people. People were getting saved. I preached, but I didn't know how to do life. I didn't know how to be a husband. I didn't know how to be a dad. I was still very selfish and I was struggling. So, you know, I thought all things have passed away, you know, old things have passed away and all things have become new. You know, maybe I can start drinking again. You know, my wife's like a normie. She can have a glass of wine one night and not drink for 6 months. She doesn't care. It's not a big deal to her. So I thought, you know, I couldn't get my marriage to work. So I thought, you know what, I'll just start drinking wine with her again. Maybe that, you know, maybe that'll be the adult thing to do. After all, I'm a Christian now and I'm born again. It took about 3 years. I started going to his place through this struggle period. And it got worse, and that's what happens when I drink. I have 12 years of sobriety, too. I've done all the research. It's a sin for me, you know? So an incident happened one night, and I couldn't go back to the house. And I had no other place to go, and I called Joe. And that's when I detoxed on his couch. That's when I was like, dude, I'm a mess. I'm back to where, you know, because I had a little bit of sobriety before that, and I'm back to what I was, you know, back to miserable and with nothing. And he was gracious enough, and he loved me, and he let me sleep on his couch and get right. And I ended up moving with my mom for a bit. And my mom was like, hey, why don't you just go back to that other church? Like, that's when everything was all good. And I was like, oh, you know what? Maybe you're right. So I started going to services over there. And then I'd go to services at Little His Place in Huntington. And I knew that I was supposed to be plugged in somewhere. But I didn't know which one. And God spoke to me and he said, I want you to call each pastor and I want you to ask them what they struggle with. And I thought that was a little, you know, it was a strange request, but what God knew that I needed was real. And I called the first pastor and I asked him, hey man, what do you struggle with? And he goes, well, I don't want to say it. I don't want to say it out loud because I don't want to give the devil a foothold and I'm not going to talk about it. And that was pretty much the way he rolled. Like you didn't get to know the guy. Great at minute, you know, great preaching, evangelizing, all that stuff, but he just wouldn't let me in. I called Joe right after that, and Joe was honest with me without hesitation. He told me what he struggled with. And that's when I knew that this is where I needed to be under a man who could show me how to be a man. Because I called the other pastor and I said, hey man, I'm going to his place. And he said, well, I'll give you a bigger platform to preach from. You know, I'll give you more opportunities, you know, to be famous for Jesus. And that I knew that that's not what I needed. Because I would have blown it. I needed someone who could teach me how to be a husband, teach me how to be a man, teach me how to stay accountable. And I knew that if he could be real with me, then I could be real with him. If he was real with a congregation, that's what I wanted. I didn't want to fake it and pretend like everything's okay when everything's not okay. You know, I wanted a place where I could ask for help. And so I began to, I said, his place is my home. So God spoke to me. He goes, okay, now I want you to go to, I want you to go see Joe during the week when nobody's there. And I want you to pray with him for the church, for the future. I want you to be his armor bearer. I want you to be his guy. And that's where we started. I went to the church, we prayed, and that's what we would do. And I see the blessing in it now, but I didn't even think about a title. Like, we didn't have deacons then. I just knew that I was supposed to serve with him, that I was supposed to pray for him, that I was supposed to, whatever weight he couldn't hold, I would hold it for him, or I would help him hold the weight. And I just knew that I was supposed to serve under you, and that I was supposed to serve God with you, and that you would teach me the rest, that God would use you to. And he has. And Tracy and I have been married for 22 years now, and we have been through it. We gave our testimony here one Sunday, and we were honest with everybody. It's been a journey, but I want you to know that Tracy and I have never been closer than we are right now. Our marriage and our love continues to grow. She's very excited about this change. It's a big step for her, but she's excited. She's going to the women's retreat or the women's conference in June. She's excited to get to know all you ladies. She's on a cruise this weekend because Joe and I were very careful about this. We thought about this. We prayed about this. We asked advice about this. And so dates like kept changing, you know? And so it just so happens she committed to being on a cruise. Otherwise she would be here today, and she's sad that she can't be here, but she wants me to tell you that she loves you and that she's excited to get to know you. There's two passions that I have in this life other than my family. That's a given. And Jesus, is to pour into you, to pour into the church in such a way that brings the best out of you. The passion of mine to minister to God's church so that I can bring the best. I mean, God will do it. He gets the glory. He gives the increase, but for him to use me to preach the word to you, to give my time to you, to pray with you, to do everything that Joe has done so well, that is my passion. The next is to go out there and to seek and save the lost and to evangelize. That's another passion of mine. Those are my two passions. And I'm excited about getting this opportunity with you. And I promise you, and I commit to you that every Sunday I stand up here, I'll give you my best. I will give you my best. Every week of every month of every year, you'll get my best. Because my life scripture is, he who has been forgiven much loves much. And God has forgiven me and blessed me from so much. He literally, like we were singing, he turns dead things alive. He saved me. And so I'll never be able to repay him, but I can give him my life. And that's what I dedicate to you in this church.
You guys still have to vote for him, though. We're Assemblies of God. So this is my word to you is, I want you to love him like you love me and Therese. I want you to trust him like you guys trusted us. I want you to be there for him like you've been there for us. Because I know he's God's man for this time. And also, I know that there's some of us out here that are thinking, what's going to happen? You know, how's this all going to roll out? You know, do I fit here maybe anymore? And I want you to know this, the tagline of our church has been building lives, and that's not changing.
Never.
We build lives. You know, I believe God is going to take them. God showed me, gave me a couple scriptures that I want to share with you quickly. First one is the Deuteronomy 1, 34:1, I believe. And, you know, when Moses, after Moses led the people out of Egypt and they spent 40 years in the desert, God basically told him he wasn't going into the promised land. It wasn't his job, and there were reasons behind that. And yet, though, the Lord took him up to the mountain to show him what he was going to do. And so it says that Moses went up to Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab and climbed Pisgah Peak, which is across from Jericho. We all know that. And the Lord showed him the whole land from Gilead as far as Dan. Next verse. And all the land of Naphtali and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh and all the land of Judah extending to the Mediterranean Sea. He showed him everything, the Negev and the Jordan Valley with Jericho and the city of palms as far as Zoar. So we took this guy and he didn't say they're going to go somewhere. He showed them where the Israelites would go. And he said, I'm giving it all to them. And then he told Moses this in Deuteronomy 3. He said this, you're not going, basically, before this verse. Instead, this is what you're going to do. Commission Joshua. That's Joshua. And encourage him. Train him, some versions say. And that's what we've been doing the last 7 years. Train him for, and strengthen him, for he will lead the people across the Jordan. He will give them all the land you now see before you as their possession. And God has laid this foundation here. And I told you a moment ago that our tagline here is building lives. And we have built the foundation. But to build the rest of the house and to go beyond is God's work. This church isn't about Joe. Never was built on the foundation. Because if you're building lives, what are you building them on? We build them on the rock. We built the lives. We do the ministry here on the rock of Jesus. We don't do it on Joe. We don't do it with Chris. We don't do it with anybody else. He uses us. But we have built, this church has been here for over 60 years. And the congregations before us and the pastors before us all built this place on the rock of Jesus. And we are that next generation of doing it. And God has given us a mission, and the mission hasn't changed. When Moses commissioned Joshua, the mission didn't change. But what they were going to do was going to be a more complete build on of the foundation that Moses led and started. And so that's where this church is going. And you guys, out of all the congregations that have followed us for these three decades, you are the congregation that God chose to go into this land. And that's a beautiful thing. None of the other congregations, none of the other people, the thousands of people that have come and gone over all these years and that found their destinies, whatever they were, sometimes with us, sometimes without us. There we have long-term people here that have served faithfully for, well, Sandy's been here longer than us. And we have other people that have served in ministries for lengths of time, and it's an honorable thing. And so God has raised up people to go beyond. And so what I want us to do now is I want you to stand up. And see, we're standing in this house on this foundation, but the foundation under it is Jesus Christ. It is the Lord himself. And that is the same foundation in your life. And Jesus said in Matthew 7 that if you build your house on the rock, you will be able to withstand any storm. You will be able to withstand on an individual basis and on the house of God. So we are standing on firm ground. You are standing on firm ground. Things will change. Storms will come. There will be highs. There will be lows. There will be people that... How many people have ever been hurt by people? Keep that hand up. Anybody, everybody been hurt by people? Everybody? How many of you have hurt people? Oh. Yeah, it's a two-way street. And we get healed. One of the other things we say here, we are born in relationship. We are wounded in relationships. And we are healed in relationships. It's all relational. And so we get to continue the journey because there's many people out there. not only many people out there, there's young ones among us. So God is doing and continuing to do a great work. So I want you to surrender. Whatever is going on in your mind about this place and our future and the past, and whatever is going on in your own life, surrender to the rock you stand on. Because it's the only sure thing. That, what's that one song say? Build on the rock and all around me is sinking sand. It's kind of an old hymn and I don't really know it. But I know those words. Who knows what those words say? Say it loud. Right, that's one of them. What? Amen, amen, amen. So on this rock we stand. Why? Because all else is sinking sand. So stand on the rock. So can I pray with you and lead you in a prayer? And just surrender your world. We surrender this church. We surrender. Lord God. Go ahead and say that after me.
Okay.
I confirm and affirm. I stand on the rock.
Stand on the rock.
Of Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
No matter what is going on in my personal life. It is all under control.
It's all under control.
For I stand on the rock.
Stand on the rock.
We thank you for this church.
Thank you for this church.
For it was built.
It was
established.
Established.
On the rock of Jesus Christ.
The rock of Jesus Christ.
We thank you for the present.
Thank you for the present.
Because it was built on the rock.
Built on the rock.
We thank you for the future of this house.
Thank you for the future.
For it is built on the rock.
It's built on the rock.
We bless your name.
We bless your name.
In our generation.
In our generation.
You have called each one of us.
Called each one.
And given us destiny.
Given us destiny.
To do good.
Do good.
In our generation.
In our generation.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Never let us fall off the rock.
Never let us fall.
And if we do,
scoop
us up. Put us back on. That we may finish well.
That we may finish well.
And Lord, you know us.
Lord, you know us.
We weren't always good starters.
Sometimes we messed up in the middle.
But we stand today on the rock. Put boundaries around us that we would finish well. And I say with Paul that I've fought the good fight. I will finish the work you have set for me so that I may receive my reward. And I thank you for that in advance. And Father, we pray for Pastor Chris that you will bless him and strengthen him. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
I want to share one more thing with you that I think is really important. About 4 weeks ago, this was the last thing that confirmed in my heart that everything is right. About 4 weeks ago, Chris was preaching. I wasn't here. And Jaden came up to him and said, after service, he goes, Chris, I saw the anointing of God on you. So Chris and I talk on Monday morning, and he goes, Joe, man, Jaden came up and said that. And I said, oh, you know what I just saw? He goes, what? I saw the mantle that was on me for this church has been transferred to you.
Yeah.
And you, yeah. Good luck with all that. All right, you guys. Love you. Oh, yeah. We're going to set up a Wednesday in a couple weeks for a Q&A if anybody wants to come. We'd love to ask questions, talk more, have comments, and just process this together. And because we're family, and family, healthy families process things.
Amen.
Amen? God bless you guys. Thank you for three decades.